Well, good morning. I'm glad that you're listening to Wyndham Community Chapel's service of March 14th, 2021. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's great to have you listening from your homes today. As always, as I prepare for this message, it's my prayer and hope that God will speak into your life and this service will be a blessing to you. That as we open the Word of God, that you will hear what God has for you in your life. It's always good to spend time with fellow believers as we spend time together with God, and whether we do that remotely or in person. And I want to encourage you that those who are able to come out to gather together and worship on Sunday mornings here at 10 o'clock at the church, you'll do so as we together look to God. And we worship Him in spirit and in truth together. Well, today as we spend time together, Philippians chapter 2 is going to call us into worship. Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today as we gather remotely. It is our desire to lift you up and bring glory to your name as we worship you today. And as we focus our attention upon you, I ask that your Spirit open our hearts to you. Allow us to see your heart and be drawn to your word as you speak into our lives today. We acknowledge that you are our exalted King. We affirm that in your presence and at the mention of your name, we bow in humility to our Savior and Lord. You have saved us from our terminal sin condition. You have rescued us and welcomed us into the kingdom of God through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, in light of who you are and what you accomplished on our behalf, we offer our worship to you. May the words that we offer in praise to you and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you this day, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a few reminders to us today. Don't forget to mail or drop off your tithes and offerings to the church. We appreciate all of your faithful, consistent giving, even those who can't worship together with us here on Sundays. Thank you for that, and continue to share that with us. Today we're going to be sharing communion, so if you would have crackers or bread or something like that available and some kind of juice for after the message, we're going to be sharing communion together. Just a little heads up. Prayer requests, we just encourage you to continue to send in your prayer requests that you might have for yourself and your family, that we might share them with our church family, that we might join you in prayer for the needs that you have, that you will see the hand of God working in your life. Coming up, a Good Friday service on April 2nd. It will be, we will be combining with other churches for an online service, and more details will be coming about how you can tune in to that. Don't forget, the ladies' Bible study meets on Tuesday mornings at 9:30, and the men's Bible study meets on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Avail yourself of those opportunities. Well, today we want to spend just a moment or two in prayer and lifting up the needs of our congregation and speaking to our God. Would you join me? Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing and answering our prayers this day. We are grateful for the assurance that when we ask anything in your will and in your name, you respond by directing our lives down the path of righteousness. We are grateful that you are not far away from us, but rather right with us and fully aware of our needs and clear about the right answer to our requests and the right path for our lives. You are holy and righteous, merciful and full of grace. You love justice and desire for your children to live humbly in your presence. You never change and anchor our lives in an ever-changing world. You provide perfectly for all our needs and desire to give us good gifts. Though undeserving, you shower your blessing upon us anyway, and we are eternally grateful. Lord, we desire this good news of your salvation to extend throughout all the earth. Bless our city. Let us see more people interested in responding to your love through faith in Jesus Christ. Bring the lost into this place and let them meet you here. And help us, Lord, to reach out and share the love of God with people in our lives, in our workplace, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our families. Lord, there are some people in our lives that are in need of your touch. We think of Alva Jean and ask for your continued healing on her life. Though she's home from the hospital, Father, she still is in need of healing and your touch. And so, Father, help her to continue to respond well to the antibiotics and restore her health and her strength. Now, Lord, as we open your word, we ask that you would open our eyes that we might see you clearly. Open our hearts that we might know and follow your will. Speak to us, Father, this day, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we continue on in our series of sermons from the Psalms of Ascent, Discipleship in an Instant Society, today we come to Psalm 130. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to that. Today's sermon is entitled, There is Hope. Well, Flagstaff, Maine no longer exists. The Central Maine Power Company wanted to bring hydroelectric power to the area in the 1940s and decided to build a dam on the Kennebunk River. But it ran into political opposition and decided to construct the dam at Long Falls on the Dead River. This meant that soon the towns of Dead River and Flagstaff would soon be underwater in what is now known as Flagstaff Lake. And predictably, in the year before the dam was finished, all improvements and repairs on municipal properties and personal homes gradually ceased. Why paint a house when in 6 months it'll be covered with water? Why repair anything when the village was about to be wiped out? So as the weeks went by, the town looked more and more bedraggled and unkempt. When asked what was learned through this process, someone said, "Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present." And this truth is illustrated in a positive way in this story from New York City. A self-made millionaire, Eugene Land, greatly changed the lives of a sixth grade class in East Harlem. Mr. Lang had been asked to speak to a class of 59 sixth graders. What could he say to inspire these students, most of whom would drop out of school? He wondered how he could get these predominantly black and Puerto Rican children even to look at him. While scrapping his notes, he decided to speak to them from his heart. "Stay in school," he admonished, "and I'll help pay the college tuition of every one of you." In that moment, the lives of these students changed. For the first time, they had hope. Said one student, "I had something to look forward to, something waiting for me. It was a golden feeling." Well, nearly 90% of that class went on to graduate from high school. You know, we've all been in the dumps of human misery and suffering. From there, you have to reach up to grab hold of your bootstraps to get you out of your precarious situation. And in those moments of time, you feel all alone, abandoned, and without hope. Our passage this morning begins with the psalmist in this very position. Psalm 130 says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." Well, out of the depths is a polite way of saying that the writer feels alienated and distant from God. My thoughts immediately go to Jonah and his prayer from the belly of the big fish, his anguished cry from the depths of the grave, as the engulfing waters threaten and the deep surrounded, while the seaweed wrapped itself around his head, echoes in my head. And like Noah, the psalmist knows that it is his own sin and stupidity that placed him in this dire situation. When all hope is lost and you're sinking fast, where do you turn? Where do you look for help? What resources do you have still available to you? G.K. Chesterton writes, "Hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength." Psalm 130 is an earnest cry for the Lord to show his people mercy on their journey of faith. The psalmist, sure that God forgives sin, calls upon all of God's people to join him in waiting and celebrating the redemption of their sins. And he begins with a prayer that God will show mercy to his children. The intensity of our problems dictates the intensity of our prayers. Dire situations call for extraordinary measures. When we find ourselves in deep, deep trouble as a consequence of our own behavior, we have little wiggle room. Not that we don't try. Often we'll try to blame someone else as the reason why we are where we are. Or we'll try to escape the punishment that we deep down know that we deserve. Then, when that doesn't work, we wallow in despair and the woe is me world, hoping to gain some sympathy from our fellow believers. Eventually, none of that works, and we find ourselves right back where we started, in the depths of despair, alienated from God because of our sinful actions. It is from here that the psalmist cries to the Lord for mercy. I found a great example of mercy needed and given in World War II. The American pilot glanced outside his cockpit and froze. He blinked hard and looked again, hoping it was just a mirage. But his co-pilot stared at the same horrible vision. "Dear God, this is a nightmare," the co-pilot said. "He's going to destroy us," the pilot agreed. The men were looking at a gray German Messerschmitt fighter hovering just 3 feet off their wingtip. It was 5 days before Christmas, 1943, and the fighter had closed in on their crippled American B-17 bomber for the kill. The B-17 pilot, Charles Brown, was a 21-year-old West Virginia farm boy on his first combat mission. His bomber had been shot to pieces by swarming fighters, and his plane was alone in the skies above Germany. Half his crew was wounded, and the tail gunner was dead. his blood frozen in icicles over the machine guns. But when Brown and his co-pilot, Spencer Pinky Luke, looked at the fighter pilot again, something odd happened. The German didn't pull the trigger. He nodded mercifully at Brown instead and let him go. Well, to the God of our salvation, in his sovereignty is life and death. To the God who was and is to come, the psalmist prays that he turns his ears to his cries and pays attention to his situation. Why? Was God sleeping? Was he busy elsewhere and couldn't handle one more problem? Did he not care? Well, the psalmist recognized that what many of us fail to remember, that sin separates us from God. It places a barrier before our relationship with God that can only be broken by his forgiveness of our sin in response to our repentance. That is why he pleaded for God to listen to him. That is why the psalmist cried out for mercy, for the undeserved favor of God. You see, even when we find ourselves in the deep, dark depths of life, due to our own foolishness and sin, God is merciful when we repent and turn away from our sin. This supply of mercy is never-ending on our journey of faith. In fact, Scripture says that God's mercies are new every day to his children. Thank God that the well of his mercy has no bottom. Well, then the psalmist explains that his confidence in God's mercy is expressed by God's forgiveness for our sins. The mercy of the Lord is found in forgiveness. He does not keep a record of sins because mercy wipes them out. If it didn't, and God held us accountable for all our past sins, even the most godly among us couldn't stand in the presence of Almighty God. God does not keep a grocery list of our sins in his back pocket that he brings out every time we stumble and sin. Hope drips off every word in this psalm, and we are comforted to know that with God is forgiveness and pardon for our sin. God reaches out to us in our hopeless and helpless condition when we were in need of a Savior and in mercy pardoned us from our sinful condition. When we were without Christ and headed toward an eternal destination outside of the presence of God, he saved us. The Apostle Paul reflected upon this truth with these words in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that our suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This core truth coming from the mercy of God is what we will remember and celebrate in just a few moments. In God is forgiveness of sin, and that gives us hope. I read a story about Abraham Lincoln that helps us understand true forgiveness. He went to a slave auction to buy a slave girl. After paying the agreed upon price, he went and claimed his property. As he approached this young girl, he said, "Young lady, you are free." She said, "What does that mean?" "It means you are free." "Does that mean," she said, "that I can say whatever I want to say?" Lincoln said, "Yes, my dear, you can say whatever you want to say." "Does that mean," she said, "that I can be whatever I want to be?" Lincoln said, "Yes, you can be whatever you want to be." "Does that mean I can go wherever I want to go?" He said, "Yes, you can go wherever you want to go." The girl, with tears streaming down her face, said, "Then I will go with you." Not only does God forgive us from our sin that prevents us from eternal life with Him, but He also shows mercy through forgiving us of the sins we commit on this journey of faith. Clara Barton, founder of the American Red Cross, was reminded one day of a vicious deed that someone had done to her years before. But she acted as if she had never even heard of the incident. "Don't you remember it?" her friend asked. "No," came Barton's reply. "I distinctly remember forgetting it." The psalmist proclaims that God is full of forgiveness and wishes to share His mercy with His children. This causes the children of God to be in awe of Him and to follow Him all the days of their lives like a freed slave. Well, finally, the psalmist focuses upon the hope that God's mercy and forgiveness produces. Two actions are taken by the psalmist in response to God's mercy and forgiveness. First, it says, "I wait for the Lord." And then secondly, he says, "I put my hope in His word." These two words are at the very center of this song and of our lives. These actions, normally thought of as passive, are in fact rather strenuous. They require great effort and strong faith. God wants you to live with great expectations, with a constant, enduring sense that God is for you, that He loves you deeply, and will at any moment move in power on your behalf. Dr. Tony Evans, pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, writes, "Sometimes God delays His blessings to examine what's in your heart. He waits on purpose. It's not that He doesn't want to bless you, but He's after a greater purpose than your immediate blessing. God doesn't want to just fix your problems. He wants to transform you in the process." In our text, we are compared to a watchman waiting through the night for the dawn. To people of action, living in an instant society, we ask, "Isn't there something more I can do? I mean, besides waiting and hoping." A watchman is an important person, but he doesn't do very much. He is awake when everyone else is asleep. He is alert when everyone else is not. In fact, they count on him to be alert so they can sleep in peace. At the time when the enemy is most likely to attack, he is on guard to alert and to protect. Yet, if truth be told, his job is boring, broken up by the tedious routine of his work. Success is when nothing significant happens during his watch. He walks around watching and looking for potential dangers. He listens carefully for unnatural sounds that might reveal the approach of enemies. He sits and tries to stay awake as his eyelids threaten to close. He sits and waits, hoping for dawn to arrive, and with it, the end of his duties. Waiting does not mean doing nothing. It means going about our assigned tasks, confident in God's mercy and forgiveness. The psalmist says that we are to be more than watchmen on this journey of faith. And then he repeats it. We are to have a deep longing for our God, a complete dependence upon his mercy, and full assurance of his forgiveness of our sins. Waiting on the Lord to show his mercy and extend his forgiveness is part of our task on this journey of faith. The Apostle Peter reminds us of its importance with these words. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And because the psalmist has put his hope in the word or the promises of the Lord and received forgiveness of his sins, he turns to his fellow travelers and encourages them to do likewise. Trust in God's unfailing love and eternal redemption. He reminds them that God himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Whatever or whoever placed us in the depths cannot separate us from God. In him is complete forgiveness of sins and full redemption through Jesus Christ. Only in God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, can we know hope of eternal life. With God, lover of our souls and savior of our lives, there is hope. He declares, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." There is hope in this life, and it is only found in God. In the depths of your struggle, in the moments of your doubts, in the chaos of your world, is God. And he is ready to extend his mercy through forgiveness of your sins and bring you up out of the darkness into the light of his glory. Would you pray with me? Lord, today you have reminded us that you show mercy to your people on our journey of faith. Our need is great, but your mercy is never ending. It is new and available to us every day of our lives. But Lord, this mercy is only unleashed in our lives when we have our sins forgiven through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, that on our journey of faith, we will sin and choose to be disobedient to you. So thank you for the forgiveness that is ours in Christ Jesus. Thank you that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteous behavior. Today, we remember the salvation that you have extended to us by sharing communion together. As always, it reminds us that because you died for us, we need to live for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we prepare now to share communion together remotely. I remind you to have bread or crackers available and some type of juice for each member of your family gathered together with you. Listen to these words of Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me shall not hunger. Anyone who believes in me shall never thirst. In Luke's gospel, we read that Jesus, at the table with two of the disciples, took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read that as the church was gathered, often in the homes of believers, Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and community, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The scriptures tell us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if we confess our sins, we know that God will forgive us. And so let us offer our silent prayer of confession even now. Scripture tells us that it was on the night that our Lord was betrayed and deserted that Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Go ahead and eat the bread, which reminds us of the body of Christ broken for you. In the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Go ahead and drink the cup, which reminds us of the blood of Christ shed for the remission of your sins. Let's pray together. We thank you, God, for inviting us to this table where we remember the cost that Jesus paid for our salvation. In our remembrance, strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and help us serve you more fully in these days. For you have provided everything we need for eternal life and godly living here on this earth, through your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though undeserving of such love and such a great gift, we are eternally grateful. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we close our time together, hear the words of Numbers chapter 6 as a benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. Have a great week.